From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? It is Monday Fun Day. Yes, hope you all are having a beautiful start to begin your week. So honored, grateful, and just plain old thankful that you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your afternoon, folks. We have a great show. Great show in store for you. We'll talk about Big Ten Media Days as they start today in the beautiful city of Chicago. Lance United as they fall in the MPSL semis. Yes, we'll talk about the Tigers who fall in a four-game series to the LA Angels and so much more, folks. You don't want to miss today's show. And we'll also be talking with play-by-play man for the Lansing Lugnuts, Jesse Goldberg, Strassler, all that and so much more, folks. But as custom here on the show, here's Alex Shar with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners.
Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome back. I'm Alex Sharg, and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this Monday, July 28th. Lansing United's dream in its inaugural season came to an end on Sunday. United fell to the U23 team of Major League Soccer's New York Red Bulls 2-0 in the National Premier Soccer League semifinal. United came into Sunday's Final Four match as the heavy underdog, facing the only undefeated and untied team in the MPSL. Goalkeeper Zach Bennett recorded 6 saves for Lansing. United reached the semis with 2 home wins in last weekend's regional. The Spartans, on the other hand, have reportedly put out 2 more scholarship offers during this month's 2016 recruiting. Forward Josh Jackson and 2016 Indiana center Joey Brunk have the offers. Jackson, who grew up in Detroit, officially received his Michigan State offer last week, according to his AAU team. He is ranked as the top class of 2016 player in the country, and the 6'10 Brunk, on the other hand, was in East Lansing late June, where he helped his Southport team win the 2014 Izzo Shootout. He picked up his offer soon after the Adidas Invitational in Indy earlier this month, according to the Indianapolis Star. Brunk is a 4-star player, ranked number 70 in the country, according to 24/7 Sports. Former Michigan forward Jordan Morgan is heading to Italy to continue his basketball career. The Wolverines' career leader in games played has signed with Virtus Roma, which participates in the top division of Italian basketball. Morgan confirmed the signing on Sunday via Twitter, writing, quote, "Blessed to begin my professional career with historic Virtus Roma, excited for what the future holds," end quote. Morgan recently played in the NBA Summer League with the Minnesota Timberwolves, appearing in 3 games and averaging 6 points a game, 2.7 rebounds in 17 minutes per. The Detroit Tigers fell 3-1 against the LA Angels over the weekend. On Sunday, they lost 2-1 when David Freese hit a tie-breaking bases-empty home run off Jabba Chamberlain in the 8th. On the previous 2 nights, the Tigers lost 2-1 and 4-0 to the Angels. This marks the first time since 2005 that one team has held the Tigers to 1 run or fewer in 3 straight games. However, the Tigers retain a comfortable 5-game lead in the AL Central. They now open a 3-game series against the Chicago White Sox tomorrow at home. Just hours before Detroit Lions training camp begins, they have activated newly acquired wide receiver Golden Tate off the physically unable to perform list. Tate injured his shoulder in an OTA practice earlier this offseason and was placed on the PUP list on Tuesday. He signed a 5-year, $31 million contract this offseason. Ezekiel Ziggy Ansah and TJ Jones are now the only 2 players on the PUP list for the Lions at training camp. Also for the Lions, single-game tickets this fall will go on sale this Thursday. The Lions start training camp today and have their first game August 9th versus Johnny Football and the Cleveland Browns at Ford Field. They open against the New York Giants Monday night on September 8th in prime time. Former Detroit Pistons guard Richard Rip Hamilton told HoopsHype.com that he is interested in returning to the NBA. The 2004 NBA champion is now 36 years old and took 1 year off last year from the NBA. He also said in the interview that at his age, he can now pick where he wants to go play. And finally, in NASCAR news, big-time racer Jeff Gordon had a historic milestone on Sunday. It was his 5th win at the Brickyard 400, a NASCAR record. It was also the 20th anniversary since Gordon won his first Brickyard 400. The mayor of Indianapolis has also declared Sunday as Jeff Gordon Day, celebrating his inaugural win at Brickyard 20 years ago. And those are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this Monday, July 28th. Time to send it back to Al to start the show. Lines are now open.
All right. Thanks a lot, Alex, as you just stated so eloquently. Our lines are now open. We'll be taking your calls throughout this entire hour of Current Sports. Again, I am your host, as always, Al Martin. Again, that number to call is 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. A ton to talk about as we try to recap all of the weekend sporting action that took place. And today is a special day when it concerns the Big Ten and football, because today starts the inaugural, Big Ten Media Days, Football Media Days, as many of the coaches and players are out in Chicago right now, addressing questions from the media, addressing the state of their team, and, just the outlook on their future season, which kicks off, of course, in August. I can't believe it's about to be August. I believe August 1st is, I think it's Wednesday or Thursday. My goodness. Friday is August 1st. But, man, oh, man, I mean, time flies. This summer has certainly flown by, and I can just smell the pigskin sailing through the air right now. Football is right around the corner. Exciting stuff, folks. So we'll definitely get to that and update you on what is happening in Big Ten Media Days. As of right now, many coaches are hitting the podium and addressing many, many questions. I'm looking at a few tweets from some of the local media members who are down there. I saw a picture of a man in an Auburn shirt at Big Ten Media Days walking around the lobby and taking a picture of MSU's Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the MSU football team. I'm sure he's thanking him for that loss in the Rose Bowl, nonetheless. But it's always a fun time, and later on the hour, Alex and I will be powwowing about what we're looking forward to hearing the most out of the coaches and players at Big Ten Media Day. So it's an exciting time, because this really is the moment where we look at and say, okay, football is certainly right around the corner. It's going to be very, very interesting now, as looking at, locally with Michigan State and Michigan. Michigan State, a team who's coming off a Rose Bowl championship win. Now there's a target on their back, because now, teams across the nation, not only just in the Big Ten, know that Michigan State is, one of the best in the nation, without a doubt. And they've certainly worked their way to that moment, culminating with that Rose Bowl moment. It's something D'Antonio has been working toward his entire career here at Michigan State. And now the expectations, eclipse now just a Rose Bowl. Once you accomplish something, you start chomping at the bit a bit to get back to that point and to eclipse that goal, if you will. So it's going to be interesting to see how teams attack MSU. We'll dive into that. And how about Michigan, of course, coming off a disappointing season, to say the least. Many saying that Brady Hoke, head coach at U of M, is now on the hot seat. Many things to many intriguing storylines will be in play throughout this season for both Michigan State and Michigan. And we want to definitely open up our phone lines again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, to get your thoughts on what you are looking forward to the most with this Big Ten football season. Now just about a month away now. You really can't believe that. All right. Well, Alex, how you doing, man? Thanks a lot for bringing those quick hit headliners. How was your weekend, brother?
Weekend was good, man, and I appreciate you bringing up Big Ten Media Day, because that's the hot topic going around right now. As much as we come here every show and we say we can't believe this summer in sports has been this eventful. Well, every day in sports, I feel like, now is eventful. So we're not going to say that anymore. I think every day we're just going to go on as usual, with all the Michael Sam stuff and all the Ronnie Stuckey stuff and everything that goes on in the world. It's a normal day now. I'm used to an eventful summer of sports.
Yeah, and this summer was so weird. And we've talked about it here, as you just alluded to, because this summer, I can't remember a summer this busy in sports history in quite some time. There was so much that went on, of course, with the World Cup fiasco had to be the biggest story of the summer. But man, oh man, I felt like we had really no downtime here. Normally, like last summer, Ryan Nkwak to last summer's Current Sports, we talked a lot of baseball. A lot of baseball, which we did also this summer, the summer is still going on. We still do that. But, there were so many other stories that were so intriguing that we definitely hit upon. It's been really unbelievable. But how was your weekend, man? What'd you do, bud?
Weekend was pretty good. We're going to go golfing today, which will be great.
Yeah. I went out to the driving range. Once I got word, that we were going to go out, after work today, we're definitely going to hit the links with a few other of our coworkers as well. I was like, all right, I got to get my game right. I went out to the driving range, even though, it was raining off and on throughout much of Sunday. I said, okay, I got to get out there and hit a few balls. So I found it, and I looked out my window around, you know, about 3 o'clock, and, the sun was peeking through the clouds. I'm like, all right, well, let me go to the driving range and see how many balls I can get in. You know, got in 80 balls and fine-tuned my game a little bit. I think I'm ready, man.
Very good.
I think I'm ready, so it should be pretty exciting.
We'll see.
Man.
But, yeah, this weekend I finished moving into my new place, and I'm getting some a lot of sports channels and some DVR. So anytime we're in a Michigan State football game, if you want to watch some replays.
So you have cable now. That's what you're saying.
Getting there.
Alex Charg is finally going to get cable and will be able to, other than his laptop now, is going to be able to keep up right at home on the comfort of his couch.
Nothing that smells like honey barbecue will be supplying my cable from now on.
There
so,
you go.
No more going to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Right. No more B-dubs viewings and sporting events. So that's good stuff. Well, congratulations,
Thank you, man. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, it was an eventful weekend, as always. You know, here on Monday's show, it's always a stat. Because we try to recap everything as much as we can, I should say, what happened in the sports world. And keeping it local to start off today's current sports, really quickly, we got to talk about Lance United. As you talked about in our quick hit headliners, Lance United was a heavy underdog, falling to the U23 and under squad for the New York Red Bulls, this team, 2-0, the final in the National Premier Soccer League semifinals. The season for Lance United and the summer for Lance United now coming to an end. And they came into Sunday's Final Four match. Again, a heavy underdog. I mean, this New York Red Bull squad is one of the best in the entire nation. And they came into that match yesterday and now are still the only undefeated team in the NPSL. So that's pretty impressive stuff. This is a team that Lance United was playing that could go certainly all the way and certainly hoist that NPSL championship trophy. But you know what? We talked about it throughout last week, Alex. And again, just to reiterate it, you know, this season, even though it has now come to an end for Lance United, it has still been one huge success. I mean, it was really remarkable. Not only, was this team in its infancy, of course, this is first season here in the Lansing area, but it seemed to be the popularity of this team seemed to be heightened, and it was definitely a great marketing move on the shoulders, of course, of now owner Jeremy Sampson, who definitely strategically put this team together during a World Cup year. So it really piqued the interest of many because we were watching, you know, flocking to our televisions day in and day out as we watched that U.S. of A team, you know, make it and, you know, get out of the group of death, if you will, and have a interesting run in the World Cup. And it really eclipsed a lot of people's popularity when it came to the world of football. And not in this area, when you have, you know, a team starting like Lansing United, Lansing's very first minor league soccer team, and they go on, you know, to make a trip to New York to play in the NPSL finals. I mean, that far eclipsed my expectations. I was so curious to see how many people would come out, game in and game out, to, of course, the East Lansing Soccer Complex to support Lansing United. The Sons of Ransom cheering squad, they were in full effect each and every game. And looking on the website, the average attendance was a little over 1,000. I mean, it was truly remarkable to see the hoopla that this team was able to put around in the area. And even though this season now comes to an end, and Lance United, their dream of winning an NPSL championship in this first year does not come true, still, to get that close in your first year is truly remarkable.
Yeah, and the stat that sticks out for me, Al, is no Michigan team has gone this far in the NPSL playoffs. So that means with all the years Detroit City FC that's been in the NPSL, for all the years that Western Michigan teams have been there, no team has gone as far as Lansing United. So,
right.
Absolutely, Al. For a first year, you can't ask for anything more. What a hoopla for a first year in. From an economics and financial standpoint, I'd love to get Jeremy on here to ask this, but there aren't any TV deals or there aren't any performance bonuses for winning. So I'm really curious, from everything I've read from Graham Couch and Scott Yoshannis, I'm really curious, Al, you know, if Lansing United can really survive for years and make this more of a staple in the community. Because as much as soccer's exploding and the attendance was there this year, there's always the debate if they can keep it up. And I'm really curious to see how the winning has correlated to, you know, to financial gain for Lance United and with Jeremy's team. And I don't know what your thoughts are on it, Al. Do you think that, given the fact that they are winning, they're still pumping money into traveling, do you think that they can sustain, and is this enough to last them for years?
I think, you know, this is one heck of a start. And I think this they definitely moved the needle, without a doubt, in their first year to have this type of success when you had a lot of doubters in this area saying, okay, well, let's see how long this team lasts. Let's see how the attendance is. And let's see how the success of this team translates to, you know, attendance at games. And all of those expectations, if not more, were certainly eclipsed. Game in and game out, each and every day they were at the East Lansing Soccer Complex. You know, it was interesting because I went on a TV show last week and, you know, recap highlights of how they, you know, made the trip to New York with those two unbelievable wins last weekend. And I said, I remember, if you remember Jeremy Sampson, when he was on the radio show midseason and even before this season kicked off, I mean, Jeremy was really, you know, just hoping that they can get some sort of consistent attendance. He wanted to see some solid effort from his team, and his expectations were really, they had a lot of question marks due to the fact that, I mean, this is the first year. And I asked Jeremy, you know, talking to other owners in the business that he knew when it came to minor league soccer programs, what sort of advice and what sort of outcomes did they have in their first year? You know, looking at how they proceeded to build their own programs and what sort of advice they gave Jeremy. And Jeremy, you know, I remember him coming on the air and saying, well, you know, they told me that, first of all, each and every team is different. Each and every fan base in each and every area is different. So one team's first year in the MPSL is going to be totally different from another's, another team's first year in the MPSL. And, you know, the expectations were certainly everywhere for this team. Jeremy was just kind of just – really just kind of doing a trial and error for each and every game that, you know, that Lansing United had within this area. And seeing, again, for me, seeing the amount of fans and the amount of support that Jeremy had throughout this year, you have to tip the cap to him because Jeremy really did an unbelievable job at promoting this brand throughout the Lansing area. I mean, he was on each and every sports talk radio show. I mean, he was, you know, asking the media to come out during practices. I mean, he was selling T-shirts. He had little incentives for people who would sign up for season tickets. I mean, it was really a remarkable job of how he put this together. He even got the fans involved before this team even knew its name, allowing the fans to judge, you know, what this team's name would be in a contest. I mean, getting the community involved in little ways like that do a lot because it shows to the local community that this team is their team. They had a hands-on doing in this team's success, and Jeremy recognized that and brought that to the table. So, and again, with the success that this team had in his first year, I guarantee you that there's going to be definitely an increase in sponsorships. There, you're going to see people come out the woodworks and definitely probably talk to Jeremy about, you know, you're going to start seeing different banners out in the outfield from different companies and so on and so forth. Success, I always say this, success breeds attention. This team has certainly gotten the attention of many.
Good point. And one thing I also just thought of is look at all the other MPSL teams, Fort Wayne, Buffalo, Detroit. I mean, those are all big cities. And Lansing, I mean, this isn't Okemos. This isn't Traverse City. This is Lansing. So it's mid-Michigan communities. You're calling everyone up, you know, down from Williamston and Weberville up all the way up to, you know, even up as far as Chesaning. So I'm sure that you're right. With the fact that the community was there, choosing the name, the attendance was there, it makes sense that it should last for some years.
Yeah, without a doubt. And now the big question is that everybody has been blowing up my Facebook and my Twitter about, you know, when I had tweeted out about Lansing United and their run coming to an end in New York City, was that, you know, just what does this team's run, coupled with the World Cup fiasco this summer, what does this do to soccer's popularity in this area? And again, going back to when we had Jeremy on the show, I mean, I remember Jeremy, one of the most gratifying moments of this entire situation of putting together this incredible Lansing United squad was when he told us a story about a kid who had, I believe he attended a practice, and you know, some of the players were walking by, and there was a kid there just looking in, and Jeremy's right by the kid, and the kid, you know, looks at his parents and says, you know, mom and pop, when I grow up, I want to play for Lansing United. And Jeremy talked about how that was one of the most gratifying moments of his time, you know, as being team owner of this squad this season. And, you know, it begs the question now, you know, when you have a team like this in the area, where you have that amount of fans coming out and supporting this team, there were certainly, I looked around, you know, during my coverage of this team, you know, during the games I attended, you look around, you saw kids at these games. Jeremy, you know, he had hired, a few ball boys on the sidelines who happened to be about, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old. I mean, when these kids are seeing this team out there on the field, that's moving the needle when it comes to popularity in this sport. that when you see, because I know if I was probably that young, you know, the reason why I became so, you know, prone to playing basketball during my upbringing was that I would see, you know, older guys who I looked up to around the community. We had a basketball court. Me growing up on the west side of Detroit, there was a basketball court right across the street from where I lived. It was at St. Suzanne High School. It's St. Suzanne High School now in the city of Detroit. And there was a street ball court that they had built on the playground for the local community to go out and play. And I remember being, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, you know, going across the street and seeing guys who, you know, were in their 20s, some in their 30s, playing basketball. And, you know, looking up to those guys because they were, you know, decent ballers. Some of them played on the local high school teams. You know, some of them were playing in college. And just seeing the sports being homaged by individuals on that level made me want to play and grow up and be a basketball player. So I'm sure many kids who attended games at the East Lansing Soccer Complex and saw the Brian Cunninghams and the Zach Bennett's and the Matt Browns playing out there and seeing them win and have the success that they had, I'm sure it inspired many. And I'm grateful that we're starting to see the sport of soccer move the needle, not only in America, but even a little bit right here in the Lansing area. So, all right, well, let's hit the break. When we come back, folks, we'll be chatting with Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, who is the play-by-play man for the Lansing Lugnuts. We'll talk baseball when we come back. Do not touch that dial, folks. You're listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Monday, we call it Martist Monday, each and every Monday here on Current Sports, and it's where we play music from a certain artist in and out of our breaks, and the catch is that artist's name has to start with the letter M, and I believe today is Moby. Am I right, Alex?
Moby, absolutely. You may have heard him in a lot of movies. He's a pretty big artist known around the nation, so... Good having Moby on the air today.
Is he like an international artist? Was he born and raised in America or somewhere else in like Europe or something?
That's a good question. Not. I don't know.
I have to Google that.
We'll do that.
He's got some hot stuff, though.
A lot of American shows.
Yeah, without a doubt. Definitely some hot stuff. All right, folks, I have to remind you all that Current Sports TV tapes this week. Yes, each and every Wednesday we tape right here at the WKAR-TV studios. And I always invite an intriguing guest, an interesting guest, a fun guest each and every Wednesday. And we invite all of you to come out during our Wednesday tapings. We've switched them for the summertime, just for the summer. We'll move back to this time in the fall. But we switched it from 6 p.m. to now 10 a.m. each and every Wednesday. That's Current Sports again. That's when our tapings have moved to now 6 p.m. to now 10 a.m. And this week I'm very excited to have joining me on the show, Scott Yoshanis, who is Lansing State Journal high school prep sports reporter. He also covers soccer for the MSU men's and women's soccer team, as well as Lansing United. We had Scott on the show last week, as he's been, the guy who has really been reporting extensively on the firing of now former Fulton football coach John Winkler. We had an interesting discussion on how he went about reporting that and, you know, who he talked to and why this firing came about, so on and so forth. So we invited we decided to invite Scott on this week's Current Sports TV show to talk about high school athletics and so much more. Again, that will be Wednesday at 10 a.m. Current Sports TV with me and guest Scott Yoshanis. So you do not want to miss that. And also, folks, our Current Sports question of the week, which I'm definitely excited to talk about and dive into, and it was kind of a nice little segue into this subject from my first break, talking about how I grew up, really loving the game of basketball, playing it on the playgrounds on Detroit's west side. Boy, oh boy, definitely had many, many battles in the summertime playing those afternoon games growing up. Just memories that will always stay with me. And I still definitely play playground basketball when I can, when I'm back in the city of Detroit with a few of my childhood friends and cousins and so on and so forth. But it was an interesting article done on ESPN. It really caught my attention. I didn't even think about it until, they started to rattle off statistics and numbers about this interesting topic. And that being... that ESPN is reporting that the amount of youth and just people in general who participate in the recreational activity of playground basketball has definitely gone down. It's seeing a steady decline year after year after year. And it was interesting because, ESPN had put together these videos of, legendary street ball legends that played in areas such as famed Rucker Park in New York City, to players who played out, down in California. And they talked about how, they're starting to see that the brand of basketball, when it concerns, the youth basketball development, who from those kids who play in these pickup games and start to find their skill and start to find their talent on the court, they're starting to see those numbers in participation go down. It's really alarming to me because, again, that's where I learned the game of basketball, playing in those local street ball courts, going up there with my starting five, with my friends up there and playing against competition, each and every summer. Those are where, you not only develop memories, but you start to develop your game. And it's really alarming that playground basketball is starting to see a decline, year after year after year now. And we definitely want you to weigh in on it. You can, again, tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Go to my Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. And also Instagram. I'm always on Instagram as well. You can follow me on Instagram at Al Martin, WKAR, to weigh in on it. That will be our Barbershop Wednesday topic as well. So you don't want to miss that intriguing discussion, to say the least. All right, folks. Well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. He is certainly a friend of the show, play-by-play man for the Lansing Lugnuts, ladies and gentlemen, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. How you doing, Jesse?
I'm doing terrific, Al. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Always a good time when we have you on the show, and you're definitely here to give us a kind of a recap of what's been going on with the Luggies. Now, looking at their schedule right now, the Lugnuts currently, they sit in third place of the Midwest League Eastern Conference after finishing fifth in the first half of the season. What encouragement has the second half brought about so far, Jesse, for this team?
Well, here's the fun thing. Those standings are deceptive. The top two teams in the division make the playoffs in the first half and in the second half.
Right.
Well, the top two teams in the first half are also the top two teams in the second half. The Lugnuts look like they're in third. They're in first place right now. West Michigan and South Bend are already in. Lansing Lugnuts hold on to the top playoff berth of the two remaining playoff berths in the Eastern Division.
Oh, well, there you have it. So the top two teams are already in. So now it, bows to the next two teams who can make that spot. And right now, if the season was to end, the Luggies will be in that position to keep their postseason hopes alive.
So that's the encouraging thing. The Lugnuts are playing .500 baseball. There are a number of players who we expect to step things up come August. Some bats have gone cold, and yet they're right where they want to be, and they haven't been playing very well. So you talk about encouraging. That's highly encouraging, especially as things have gotten exhausting. They're currently on their final Western Division swing. I'm talking to you from the Catfish Bend Casino and Resort in Burlington, Iowa.
Oh, boy.
Lugnuts played 29 innings of baseball this weekend, 14 innings on Saturday, 15 more innings yesterday. They're going to wrap this up, and they're going to be glad to come home.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, like you just alluded to, keeping up with the team over the weekend, I saw they had two very exhausting games against the Burlington Bees, a 3-2 loss on Saturday, a 3-2 win yesterday with the rubber match scheduled for later on today. I mean, how tiring can a series like that be at this point in the season, Jesse?
Exhausting. It is hot. They're a long way from home, and there's not too much rest, considering that the Saturday night game, well, it was in the evening, and they've got to get up, get early, and the Sunday game starts in the afternoon, so everybody is right now tuckered out. They need some rest. They need some relaxation, and it's not coming soon because there's only one off day to go in the year.
Talking with the team, day in and day out, Jesse, you being, of course, traveling with the team and just kind of picking their brains on their mentality approaching each and every game. And, you talked about that, just being exhausted right now and being tired. Talking with the players, I mean, how are they trying to fight through that?
Well, consider a marathoner. There are going to be moments where, in the midst of the marathon, you're going to be tired, and then you get your second win or your third win, and the players will get that second win. We're finishing July, then it's August, and one day into September, and then there's the postseason. When the weather gets nice, when the days go from hot into those nice mid-70s or early 70s with the breeze, that picks up your energy. A day game that allows you to relax in the evening picks up your energy as well. A big crowd picks up your energy. And suddenly you find yourself, whereas you were plumb tired the day before, now you go to the field and you've got all the energy in the world and you're ready to crush it. So it waxes and wanes, and it's especially difficult on those players who've never had to play a 140-game season before.
Right.
But when you least expect it, you suddenly find yourself with more energy where you didn't think you had any.
Boy, I tell you, it's all about the little things in moments like this. All right, you know, looking at, you know, one of the most recent moves for this squad, Jesse, of course, in conjunction with the Toronto Blue Jays, the Lugnuts, they transferred pitcher Derek Kelly to the short-season Vancouver Canadiens and received pitchers Francisco Grayski and Starlin Sorrell, I believe, from the Canadiens in a corresponding move. Have there been any moves like this one, Jesse, that have been huge in the success or demise of the Lugnuts throughout this season?
This move has been fantastic. And I'm sorry, all three guys do not have the easiest names to pronounce.
I struggle with them, Jesse.
But this move was terrific. Starlin Sorrell received the start yesterday. He's only 20. This is his first professional season. He only signed last year. He got the start, went five innings, allowed only one run. Exactly what they needed from their starting rotation. Francisco Grisevski is the Lugnuts Player of the Week. They add him into the bullpen, immediately comes in, fires three scoreless innings in his Lugnuts debut, and then yesterday he pitches the 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th innings, all scoreless, gives up only one hit, picks up the win as the Lugnuts come away with the victory. That's what they need, those fresh guys to come in, young, talented pitchers. You never know when the next big move is going to come, but this has hugely been a boost.
Wow, that's very, very impressive. Now, are there any guys that you can see, you know, possibly making that leap soon with the Blue Jays?
What do you mean by leap?
As far as, you know, making that, you know, moving up to the majors at all.
Well, so Aaron Sanchez, who was a Lugnut 2 years ago, he was the 100th Lugnut to make the major leagues. He just picked up the win for the Blue Jays yesterday.
Right.
So it's been fun to see Aaron moving his way up. We might see A.J. Jimenez, a former Lugnut, moving up to the Blue Jays. Meanwhile, our Lugnuts, it's a good question to see who will get promoted from us, because so many of our top young players are that key word, young. And so the Blue Jays might want to keep them with us. But Dunedin is in the playoffs above us. Vancouver is making a playoff push below us. So
right.
The Lugnuts are gunning for the postseason. We'll see how everything goes. But there's going to be postseason play for a lot of integral players.
For a guy, Jesse, like Lugnuts manager John Tamargo, who, of course, like you said, I mean, they're trying to make a very strong push when the postseason comes. For a guy like John Tamargo, looking at the possible moves that are made throughout a season, when you talk about minor league baseball, I mean, is there any way to sort of prep for that?
No.
It's impossible, right?
Wire and you realize, well, I guess I'm going to need to find a new closer, or, well, I guess we're going to need to find a new starter, or what happens a lot, guys need to pick up different baseball gloves and find their way to new positions. Dicky Jothon was a shortstop, and he joins the Lugnuts this year. We put him in left, and we put him at second base. David Harris was the second baseman. He goes out to left field. He plays third base. Jason Leblebichian's played everywhere, including having to pitch in the game. You just need guys to be versatile because you never know. Suddenly, there's a hole. Who can take care of business? At the level above us, one of our big prospects last year, Emilio Guerrero, the star shortstop, and the Dunedin Blue Jays needed a center fielder. And so they said, hey, you, 6'4", rangy guy, go out there, see if you can play center field and give us some time.
So oh, man.
It always comes as a surprise to the skipper, but you patchwork and you push on.
That's all you can do, right? Folks, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with play-by-play announcer for the Lansing Lugnuts, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Now, Jesse, how is John Tamargo, Lugnuts manager, how is he measuring the success of his of this season so far? And, you know, of course, where does he want this team to end up as the season progresses?
Well, I think it's been some frustrations recently. The Lugnuts began the year, and especially throughout the whole first half, they could really hit, and they had great difficulties pitching. Starting pitching, relief pitching, that's where the big problem was. So here we go into the second half, and especially this month, The Lugnuts can't hit. The offense has gone entirely to sleep, but the pitching has been tremendous. So he's trying to not pull out his hair, trying to match up those two strengths of the team at the very same time and get the team going. So there are some difficulties, and yet, compared with last year's team, which did not have too much talent and did not fare well, this year's team is right there on the cusp of the playoffs, and that keeps everyone looking forward.
Yeah, without a doubt. All right, Jesse. Well, again, the rubber match with Burlington is tonight, right?
That's right. Tonight at 7:30, and then we're back home Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Tomorrow is a dollar deal day. Then Wednesday, it's a 12:05 p.m. game. It's at noon right before your show.
Right.
Humphrey the Camel will be there. And then Thursday is a Labatt Thirsty Thursday to round things out against the Dayton Dragons.
Oh, that's great stuff, folks. We'll certainly be giving you an update throughout the week on how the Luggies are doing. And Jesse, you know, looking at the new promotions you guys have been enacting this season, of course, with Humphrey the Camel and so on and so forth, how have they been going so far?
Things have been going great. The last homestand that the Lugnuts had, we were averaging over 7,000 fans a game. We're just blowing out the ballpark, and it was beautiful. And the fun thing is, too, this is the last year for Cooley Law School Stadium in its current iteration. We're putting in all of those massive renovations come next year, and the ballpark is going to be looking better than ever.
And they're going to be apartments right in the outfield, am I right?
Yes, that is the plan. It will be called the outfield, and this is a year or 2 years down the road that everything gets put together, but out beyond the right field, right center field wall, there will be an apartment complex. And I believe also there will be a restaurant on the bottom floor. I've seen the drawings, and now I can't wait to see how it looks in real life.
Oh, boy, as I like to say, that's going to be really sexy, Jesse. That's going to be really sexy when that thing gets built. But it's going to be it's really, you know, I had this discussion with Alex. I remember when we first talked about it here on the show. It's going to be interesting because, you know, picturing an apartment complex in the outfield, and I assume there's going to be windows in that apartment complex that will face the stadium. I mean, just imagine if a home run is hit. I mean, are those windows are going to have to be pretty strong.
Well, oh yes, it's not going to be your ordinary glass. They're going to be prepared because forget just during a game. Teams will be taking batting practice before every single game.
Oh, man.
What do you think the players will be aiming at? So we'll make sure that everything's okay.
Okay, good. Because, you know, I mean, for those that end up living in the outfield, I can just imagine somebody, you know, eating breakfast, watching TV, and just a ball soaring right in their milk. That won't be good, Jesse. That won't be good. We don't want that. All right?
On the bright side, they'll be prepared for it. It's not like me sitting out there on the west side and suddenly a baseball flies in. I'm looking around. It's a mystery. I need Scooby-Doo. No,
right.
This won't be a mystery. You know where that ball came from.
Oh, that is so true. All right. Well, Jesse, before I let you get out of here, we love to have you engage on our constant discussions that we have day in and day out here on the radio show. First off, I just want to briefly talk about, of course, the Baseball Hall of Fame ceremonies that took place this past weekend. Frank Thomas, of course, pitchers Thomas Glavine, Greg Maddux, managers Bobby Cox, Joe Torre, Tony La Russa, they were all inducted into the Baseball Shrine on Sunday and all paid special tribute to their families before an adoring crowd of nearly 50,000 people. What are your memories from any of those guys, Jesse?
Frank Thomas was the man. When he was in his prime, he was massive, he was intimidating. He's the very first SEC player ever to be inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, and he's one of the best hitters I have ever seen. He could take a walk. He could hit the ball out of sight, and I wonder if people forget just how great he was. Greg Maddux is one of the greatest pitchers ever. You could put him in any decade. He was smarter. He was better, and the Maddux stories are brilliant. Look, Tom Glavine, Greg Maddux, John Smoltz from Waverly, that's the best pitching staff in baseball history. And it was such a glorious time. And we are lucky, Al, that we got to see these players play in our lifespan.
Yeah, without a doubt. It was certainly an emotional ceremony. About 4.5 hours, you know, it was just great to see those legends get enshrined into the hall. And how about Derek Jeter? You know, this is his final year. I'm pretty sure you caught a little bit of the all-star break with Derek and the outstanding, you know, 15 or 20-minute ovation and he got. I mean, what do you see Derek Jeter's place in baseball history being? And, you know, because when I look at Derek Jeter, of course, him being a Kalamazoo native, I mean, he was really the face of baseball for quite some time, Jesse.
He was, but he was understated. That's the thing. When you picture Derek Jeter, maybe you can imagine his voice, but his voice was soft, and it was very well-spoken and thoughtful.
Right.
Everything that he went about his game, it was classy. He could come up and come through in a crucial spot, offensively, defensively, running the bases, but he won. Every single year, virtually, of his career, Derek Jeter was in the postseason. And when he started his career, he was in the World Series every single year. He's one of the greats. And for anyone who did not see him play, anyone who did see him play has tons of stories to tell.
Yes, certainly, without a doubt. And I think classy is the fitting word when you talk about the great Derek Jeter. All right, well, there you have it. The man behind the mic is what I call him, play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Jesse, thanks a lot for joining me today.
I love it. Thank you.
Thank you, bud. All right, well, let's hit the second break, folks. When we come back, we'll talk a little Tigers, give you our weekend winners, and give you our thoughts on Big Ten Media Days that are taking place as we speak out in Chicago. That's right, Chi-Town. Don't miss any of that. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, now joined by Alex Charg. Alex, I may have to download some Moby after today. I'm digging our Moby Monday today.
Yeah, he's a diverse artist. A lot of different styles. He's got a little bit of soul in that one,
it's like
bit of rock.
It's like inspirational music,
yeah,
man. Uplifting stuff. It kind of reminds me of, in a way, do you listen to Seal at all?
I love Seal.
Seal is one of my favorite artists of all time. I love Seal.
Well, we're
dude.
An uplifting show here on
yeah,
Current Sports.
We are. We hope to uplift your week each and every time we're here on the air. But all right, Alex, let's get back to sports now. Of course, you know, really quickly, you know, this Wednesday, as I just talked about not too long ago before we talked with Jesse, our Barbershop Wednesday is kind of focused on the decline of popularity in playground hoops, you know, on the asphalt. You know, I grew up playing it. I don't know if you did, you know, playing it in the local parks and whatnot. But it's really alarming because ESPN kind of broke down the numbers and kind of showed statistically how kids just aren't going out and playing pickup basketball anymore. It's really surprising stuff.
What do they attribute to that? Was it the
Well, the reasons
of the
that they gave, you know, the reasons that they gave had to be, of course, with the new technology era. You know, kids on their cell phones all the time, tweeting. Video games happen to be another one, and just overall, just leagues. I guess you can say, you know, with AAU being, you know, a big proponent of youth basketball now, with leagues like that when they're playing in AAU games all the time, and you know, it's just really a different culture today when it comes to pickup basketball. When I read the article, it really alarmed me because I thought, you know, when I go down to Detroit, still. If I'm driving by Stoppel Park, if I'm driving by, my old hood, as I like to say, out in, you know, St. Suzanne on the west side, I still see a lot of kids out there playing, trying to be the next LeBron James or Kobe or MJ on the court. But, you know, I guess in other areas, such as Cali and New York, you know, the kind of the quote-unquote, and Detroit is a mecca of basketball, too. I don't want to say that. I don't want to say the quote-unquote mecca of basketball, alluding to California and New York being that. But just other parts of the world when it comes to pickup hoops, they are seeing the exact opposite, I guess.
I see. Well, part of it for me, and we're not going to get all into this now, but just real right. quickly, I personally love playing indoors just because it's easier to run on, you have better footing for it, you don't have to worry about wind and a really old hoop. Me personally, I just like an indoor court better. And
right,
I feel
right.
like there are many people that are very serious about their game that want to practice indoors. And I think a big part of why playgrounds were so big back in the day was access to gyms, and schools weren't letting kids go in and practice when they wanted to. Schools would close for the weekend. Now, I mean, I'm looking back at my own high school, they're allowing a lot more opportunities for kids to go back into the schools and the gyms and to start practicing, even though they're in the off season or it's a weekend. So I think just more access to indoor courts might be a reason as well.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Because I remember when I used to play, and I had the dream of going to the NBA and all that kind of, you know, crazy jazz. It's not crazy. Well, I definitely believed in it back in the day. but, you know, one of the biggest things was, you know, when you play on asphalt courts, when you play on concrete courts, over time it can mess up your knees. You know, there's no bounce on concrete. when you're playing on wood in the gym, there's a lot of bounce, and it's definitely easier on your legs. So, you know, that's another component too. But again, we're diving into that. That'll be our Barbershop Wednesday to sort of give you a preview on that, folks. Barbershop Wednesday. If you want to weigh on it, though, we still got about 15 minutes in the show. 517-355-9527. 355-9527. Call in now, folks. We will take your calls. All right, let's talk some Tigers really briefly. The Detroit Tigers, they fell 3-1 against the LA Angels over the weekend. On Sunday, they lost 2-1 when David Freese hit a tie-breaking bases empty home run off of Jabba Chamberlain in the eighth inning. On the previous two nights, the Tigers lost 2-1 and 4-0 to the Angels. This marks the first time since 2005 that one team has held the Tigers to just one run or fewer in three straight games. So we'll see how things pan out as they play the Chicago White Sox tomorrow at home and try to get back on track. But, Alex, again, before we dive into this, they're making me, kind of like what I said at the beginning of last week when we gave our grades for the Tigers during this midseason, if you will, now transitioning into the second half of the season. The Tigers are unfortunately making me look like a prophet. Because I basically said this. I mean, the Tigers' bats are so inconsistent. They can go cold at any moment. Your starting pitching was absolutely beautiful. Played very, very well. Rick Porcello was outstanding yesterday. The relief pitching has been very inconsistent. We saw Jabba Chamberlain, who I actually praised last week for being such a close-out pitcher in the eighth inning. He gives up, the deciding run that led to the Tigers losing 2-1. David Freese with a huge smack there, but again, it's kind of like I'm singing the same old song here. The Tigers' bats are proving to be little support for the Detroit Tigers. And you can't rely on the superstars to carry you. Miguel Cabrera had a home run over the weekend, but you can't rely on guys like him and V-Mar to carry you in that batting order. And I think they may have to I wouldn't be surprised if the Tigers made a move for a big bat before this deadline. I'm just saying.
You know, part of the show is we're uplifting. And after hearing you, I'm frustrated.
Why are you frustrated?
I'm angry.
Go ahead.
Because, Preach. Al, the Tigers are still in the top five of hitting in almost all categories.
I understand.
One game, I get it. Cabrera went 0-4, and Victor Martinez one game didn't get a hit. I get that. But it's a long season. It's the first time since 2005 that they weren't allowed over one run. That's an accomplishment.
That's alarming. Also alarming.
Think of one
Alex.
Other team that Alex. Hasn't had that statistic.
But Alex, what I'm saying is, and I'm going off of what I see, and I watched every single game throughout this weekend. And looking at this Tigers team right now, they have stretches where they look brilliant. The Tigers have stretches where they look like the best team in baseball. And then they have stretches where they look like, a mediocre team, to say the least.
And that's
I'm just
fine.
Saying that inconsistency.
You're
going
to lose games. To be mediocre is fine.
And again, to be mediocre is not fine.
If you're losing games.
If you're the Detroit Tigers.
If you're losing games.
Mediocrity is not fine if you're the Detroit. Again, it's World Series or bust this year for this team, Alex. And that's why I'm harping on these little things, because these little things. Let's just say this happens in October, where the Tigers have a bad outing. Their bats go absolutely cold. They can't generate any runs. I'm not saying it will. Let's just say they have a series like they had against the LA Angels in October. That will cost them a World Series, which is why, and again, we say it all the time, baseball is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You shouldn't be too alarmed with a series like this. I understand that, and I'm putting that in perspective right now with this argument.
Okay, but this series wasn't awful.
But
it wasn't.
Alex, they couldn't.
Their pitching was great.
My grandma could get it. If my grandma was on the team, I'm pretty sure she could at least get one hit. Tigers team went absolutely cold.
If they lost.
We saw the 9-20 stretch with this team. Okay, we have a caller right now, Alex. Before you get to your point, we have a caller, Mike from Saginaw. Mike, we haven't heard from you in a while. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, man. What I want to hear, you know what the Tigers need, but the Cincinnati Reds got is Billy Hamilton.
Billy Hamilton.
Somebody who could really put some speed on top of their order, and it's a leadoff hitter. I ain't got nothing against Austin Jackson playing leadoff, but do you think Austin Jackson should be in the second spot or third spot? What you think?
Well, you know what? When Brad Ausmus looked like a genius a few weeks ago, because, when Austin was certainly struggling, to say the least, which he did struggle over the weekend as well. He had that huge error. It just kind of slept in center field with that run yesterday. But I tell you what, with Austin, it's all about confidence with him. Austin is very, very used to, you know, being in that leadoff spot. You know, if you look at his career numbers in the leadoff spot, that's where he's had his best numbers. And, you know, we've seen shades where when he plays in that leadoff spot, he's been decent. At times he's been great, you know, better than decent. So right now, I don't say you pull the string just now on Austin Jackson being at that leadoff spot. I say leave him there, you know, and see what happens and pans out. I don't want to panic right now with him, you know, struggling, because really the whole team's struggling in that area. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Don't panic just too much, Mike. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Let me also, I just turned you on and you was talking about playing basketball outdoors too, man.
Right.
I think when you play outdoors, it develops toughness, man. It makes you
tougher,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, I ain't got nothing against playing it in the gym and everything, but, you know, playing in the gym is air conditioned in the summer and everything. I don't know. Developing outside develops toughness. You know, if you lose outside, you're going to stand on the sidelines for a while. And, you know, that's where a lot of these guys, you know, they develop their competitiveness and everything. But now I know it's not impossibility because society's ways and means now. But back then when they was playing basketball outside, it seemed like the players was more into they had more of a passion for the game. I don't know, man. It's just when you play indoors now, you got so many people watching you. It's just like you develop your game more. What you think about that, man?
No, thanks a lot for your call, Mike, and I definitely agree. You know, playing in those, you know, I would go back to those battles I used to have outside, man, and just playing on the concrete, you know, the sun is beaming down on you, you know, irritation is at an all-time high because you want to definitely finish off the team that you're playing so you can go get a drink of water, for goodness sake. But it builds toughness. You learn different values being out there on the court. And again, as far as from a confidence angle, there is no coach on the sidelines, you know, and you can equate that as well as to indoor ball as well, but there is no coach on the sidelines, you know. It's kind of a spectacle, more of a spectacle, I think, when you're outdoor playing, playing street ball, if you will. You know, if you listen to some of the Rucker Park legends of back in the day when Dr. J used to play, and there were people, you know, on the top of buildings looking down on Rucker Park as Dr. J put on the show. I mean, it's more of a spectacle, and it was just, you know, as far as developing your game, again, you didn't have a coach yelling out plays left and right on the sideline. You could go out there and develop your game by just going out there and playing the game for fun. And, yeah, it was certainly a great time. Hey, thanks a lot, Mike, for calling in on that. Again, that'll be our Barbershop Wednesday topic, the demise of playground basketball across our nation. If you want to weigh on that, we have about 5 minutes left in the show, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and also tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Well, all right, Alex, just to kind of wrap up the Tigers discussion, though, again, not panicking. Panic meter is still at about an 8.5. But still, this was alarming. Oh. It's alarming when the Tigers cannot generate runs in not one, not two, not three, but four straight games.
Yeah, I get that, but
four straight, Alex.
But Al, they lost to the Angels in the series 3-1. They beat them earlier in the year 2-1. So it's not like this is a team they're consistently struggling against. I think this is just a rough stretch.
But they are consistently struggling to hit the ball.
Just in three games. That's it.
Go back to the 9-20 stretch. I can point out about three moments.
That's the point. It's a stretch.
Right. They have moments where they just go like Casper the Friendly Ghost with their bets.
Al, if they're not hitting after 5 or 10 games, then I'd say I agree. But for right now, they have the White Sox divisional team. Like Jesse said, there's no Frank Thomas on the White Sox anymore. There's a White Sox team that isn't that great. So
all right, this is a good opportunity for them to get back on the horse. But I can't wait. If this struggle does start happening near the end of August, oh, man, I can't wait to have this discussion with you, because then that panic meter really starts to rise and starts to rise fast. Fair. All right, folks. Fair. All right, well, let's get really quickly, Alex, our 5 minutes left in the show. Weekend winners, looking at all the sporting action that took place over the weekend. You know, we definitely love to recap, try to recap everything that happened over the weekend. And we love to give you guys our weekend winners, those who had an outstanding weekend for various reasons. And for me, I guess I can kick it off. For me, if I had to choose a weekend winner, Alex, I got to go NASCAR. I'm going NASCAR on you. This is probably the first time I've ever gone NASCAR with our weekend winner segment. I got to give props to Jeff Gordon. Of course, Jeff Gordon, he's been a face of racing for many, many years. Big-time racer. He had an historic milestone on Sunday. It was his fifth win at the Brickyard 400, a NASCAR record. It was also the 20th anniversary since Gordon won his first Brickyard 400. If you're going to win it, man, it seems like everything just came full circle for him on Sunday to do it on that moment to make history. Unbelievable.
And if you're going to do it, have a mayor name a day after you.
Yeah.
And they it's called Jeff Gordon Day.
Yeah, Jeff Gordon Day. Exactly. They also declare Sunday as Jeff Gordon Day, celebrating his inaugural win at the Brickyard 20 years ago. I mean, it just seemed full circle, like he was just destined to win on Sunday. What a weekend for him. He's definitely my weekend winner. What about you?
I really did. Lance United for me, just going back to it. Man, I mean, what a start. First year. 2,000, 1,500 in a town like Lansing, that's great for consistency. So props to you, Jeremy. You've done a great job.
Yeah, he's done a great job.
We got one caller, actually, Chris, who wants to talk about basketball.
Chris, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
I'm doing good, thank you.
Yeah.
First of all, thank you for hooking me up with the whole Mateen camp thing. My son's headed there tomorrow, so I really appreciate that.
Hey, no problem, Chris. We're glad he's going out there. That should be a good time, man.
And then the thing with the basketball, man, I've noticed that I haven't played years and years because of back injuries.
Right.
But when I was still trying to get out there every once in a while, especially around here, it's even the traditional courts are they're dead. You don't see anybody out there. You know, we used to go over to Sharp Park over there by the Lansing Mall. That was our spot. And,
yeah,
you know, there was Benjamin Davis on the south side. You had Valley Court right there behind Bigby and East Lansing. And even over there by the Wharton Center, there's the court behind IM. You know, those are the hot courts. You know, the one behind IM, you still get a decent run at. But have these other courts in Lansing, you know, the south side where, you know, most of the good ballers are at.
Yeah.
You know, you can't find a run anymore. And, you know, I tried taking my older son out years ago just to teach him how to go get a run, and it was hard enough finding that. And it's sad. You know, I feel like learning how to play pickup basketball is an art, you know.
It is.
And truthfully, like the outside courts help you own some of your skills just because of the whole win factor and stuff like that, you know.
Right.
We all might have played in our driveways or our neighbor's driveways, but, you know, playing at the park is where you learn, you know, certain aspects of the game. I like to say that Marcus Taylor, who was famously did not play on the city courts around here where all his buddies did, I feel like he didn't learn a certain aspect of his game, and it hurt him when it was all said and done. You know, that's my humble opinion on Marcus. I mean, Marcus is a great player, but it's like,
right.
I feel like not getting that, you know, going to the park aspect like the Rucker, you know.
Right, exactly.
So going out there just to get a run in, you know, just to go do it, you know. And, you know, I see a court out anywhere, you know, whether it's here or Hawaii, I want to go get a basketball and play, but if there's nobody out there, you know.
It's tough. We definitely appreciate the call, Chris. And yeah, I totally agree. Because you like Chris just said, I mean, you develop certain things, and you know, going out and trying to get a run, especially in Detroit or any crowded outdoor basketball court, I mean, you got to fight for that thing, man. It's an art to it. And hey, we'll definitely dive into it more. Yeah. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Chris, thanks a lot for your call, brother. We appreciate it. Thanks a lot to Mike for calling in as well. And also my guest on today's show, Jesse Goldberg Strassler, play-by-play man for the Lansing Lugnuts. We'll dive into this on Barbershop Wednesday, folks. It's going to be an intriguing one, to say the least. A lot more points to be made. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care. Hey, have a fantastic and productive Monday to start your week. And be easy, people.